We learn about, we're going through this message series called Characters, where we've been taking a look at biblical characters, and from, a lot of them from the Old Testament. We're looking at biblical characters, and we want to ask three questions about them or answer three questions about them that will help wherever you've been at in this last week. All right, we want to learn about who they are. Who are these people? We want to know how they connect to Jesus, because ultimately everything connects to Jesus. And then what do they have to do with us, right? These are ancient people. What could they possibly do with, for me today, where I'm sitting, what I've been through, and what I'm going to go through, right? Right? We want to know those types of things. So my attempt to do that this morning and every time we do a character study is to answer those three questions. And today we're going to learn about a lady in the Bible. Her name is Rebecca. Rebecca. Now, if you're like me, you get to a certain point in the Bible and you're like, I'm confused with all the connections with the people and their names and who they're related to, and I get tripped up over it all the time. And so I just want to give you a little frame of reference that Rebecca is going to be the wife for Isaac. And if you remember who Isaac is this promised son, this child to Abraham and Sarah, two really important figures in the Bible, that God said he is going to bless them with many descendants, and it starts with Isaac and his wife, Rebecca, and to be then a blessing to all nations, to bring everybody together in a partnership with God. And that really brings us to what the story about Rebecca is all about. It is about a wife for Isaac, for sure. But it's about so much more than just a wife for Isaac. It has everything to do with how we can partner with God. That God is inviting us into this partnership with us, with him. And for Rebecca, what you're going to see in this story are three things that I want you to pay attention to. One, that God is inviting her to go somewhere. The second thing that you're going to see in the story is that as he invites her to go somewhere, God is going out before her, okay? He's going before her to prepare the way for her. And then the third thing that we see is God invites her to go somewhere, goes before her, that she can participate in God's blessing and be a blessing to others, okay? The question, though, is she willing to go, right? It all comes down to that beginning thing. If God invites her to go somewhere, is she willing to go and see that God is going before her and be a part of God's blessing, right? So we're going to try to connect with that. We're going to connect Jesus to the story. Once we do, it's going to help us to connect with the story as well, too, okay? So let's go on this little journey about learning about Rebecca, a wife for Isaac, and how she partners with God in this. And we can see this overall for us. So Genesis chapter 24 is where we're going to be at. So if you have our church app, you can open it up to the notes. It's right there. If you have your own Bible, open that up, turn it on, however you do your Bible thing. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 24, and we're just going to walk through the story through the lens of how God is inviting her to go somewhere. Starting with verse 1. Abraham was now a very old man, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. One day, Abraham had said to his oldest servant, the man in charge of his household, "Take an oath by putting your hand under my thigh." That's just because that's what they did, okay? "Swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not allow my son to marry one of these local Canaanite women. Go instead to my homeland, to my relatives, and find a wife there for my son Isaac." The servant asked, "But what if I can't find a young woman who is willing to travel so far? Should I then take Isaac there to live among your relatives in the land you came from?" Perfectly legitimate questions. But put it frame in the context here. Abraham is very old at this point. He has lost his wife, Sarah. Sarah has died. And Isaac has lost his mother. She has died. And so now Abraham is thinking, I need to have a wife for Isaac. If God is going to bless me with many descendants, it's going to take a wife for Isaac, right? And so he has his servant go and going to go back to his home country to bring a young woman from there to where they are. Now, he doesn't want a local Canaanite woman, and that's a fun little rabbit hole to go down to of like, who are the Canaanites? I'd love to nerd out on that with you, but I don't have time. But you can see that he doesn't want it to be from here. He wants somebody back from his own country. And if you listen closely, and if you read your Bible closely, you hear this design pattern that is just, he's going to be asking this young woman to do what he did, to leave her own family, her father's household, to go from that land to a land that she's unfamiliar with, that she's going to be a foreigner and a stranger, just like Abraham. Abraham was asked, invited to leave his father's household, his native land, to go to a land that God was going to show him, that then he could have all of these descendants and be a blessing to all the nations. So we see that happening here with Rebecca. Rebecca will be asked to be like Abraham. The question is she willing to go, right? Is she willing to go and be a part of that? Now, the servant has a great question, right? What if she's not willing to go, right? Because that could happen. You know, she's the right one, but she's not willing to go. Should I take Isaac back there? And Abraham is really adamant that he is not to take his son back to his family in that other land. Listen to what he says here, starting in verse 6. "No," Abraham responded, "be careful never to take my son there. For the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and my relative and my native land, solemnly promised to give this land to my descendants. He will send his angel ahead of you, and he will see to it that you find a wife there for my son. If she's unwilling to come back with you, then you are free from this oath of mine. But under no circumstances are you to take my son there." So, should he take his son back to that land? Yeah, pretty adamant. I mean, over and over again, no, never, under any circumstances, is Isaac to go back to that land, okay? But we're going to see, is this gal, Rebecca, willing to go there? But did you pick up on something? Did you pick up on who is going to go before the servant? Yeah, the angel of the Lord. God is going to go ahead of him, right? Abraham is convinced that God is going to go ahead of him and to see to it that he finds the right person. So they'll find the right person. He's confident in that. Will she be willing to go? We're not sure, okay? We're not sure of that. My question with this, because I'm a nerd, is that how far ahead did God go? Right? This is going to be a long journey. It's going to take months to get to this land where Abraham is from the place that they are back to where he was from. Did God go a few months ahead to just kind of prepare things, set things in order? Did he go farther ahead? How far ahead did God go? And the answer to that question is going to help us to connect with this whole story, okay? So I want you to pay attention to that question as we just leave it hang there for right now. So the servant is going to pack up a bunch of camels, a bunch of gold, a bunch of gifts, all of that stuff, and he heads on his way. Takes months to get there. He finally arrives at the place that he wants to get to, this well or this spring. He sits down next to it, and he wants to know if God has gone before him, has gone ahead of him to make him successful. And so he prays. He prays a prayer, and this is a prayer if you jump down to verse 12. "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please give me success today and show unfailing love to my master Abraham. See, I am standing here beside this spring, and the young women are coming of the town are coming out to draw water. This is my request. I will ask one of them, please give me a drink from your jug. If she says yes, have a drink, and I will water your camels too. Let her be the one you have selected as Isaac's wife. This is how I will know that you have shown unfailing love to my master." Close prayer, intercede. Before he had finished praying this, right? He hadn't even hardly finished getting the words out of his mouth. Before he had finished praying, he saw a young woman named Rebecca. Now, he doesn't know it's Rebecca. That's for us. We get that, right? He has no idea. He just sees a young woman. Before he had finished praying, he saw a young woman named Rebecca coming out with her water jug on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, who was the son of Abraham's brother Nahor and his wife Milcah. Rebekah was very beautiful and old enough to be married, but she was still a virgin. She went down to the spring, filled her jug, and came up again. Running over to her, the servant said, "Please give me a little drink of water from your jug." "Yes, my lord," she answered. "Have a drink." And she quickly lowered her jug from her shoulder and gave him a drink. When she had given him a drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels too, until they have had enough to drink." She quickly emptied her jug into the watering trough and ran back to the well to draw water for his camels. Do you hear the bit of the urgency? He runs up to her. She quickly lowers it. She quickly runs back and forth and fills up the water trough. Like, she's moving here. He's moving here. There's something happening here. There's an idea. There's this urgency that's happening. And it's to elevate that God is at work here. Right? He's doing this. He's gone ahead. He's fulfilled the promise for this servant and for Abraham. But again, how far ahead? How far ahead did God go to prepare this meeting, this time that they would both be at this spring at the same time, right? He just barely gets done praying it, and boom, God starts fulfilling it, right? How far ahead has God gone? Way more than a few months. I would say back to the beginning of Rebecca's life. You see, she is a person that has this gift and compassion for the stranger. She has this hospitality that she offers way above and beyond what anyone would expect in that day and age. God has gifted her and created her and wired her in such a way that she would be just the right wife for Isaac. One that we're going to see is going to be caring for the foreigner and the stranger, as she is going to end up being a foreigner and a stranger in a new land. She has this heart of hospitality. So God has gone way before to prepare things. And that's when we start thinking about us, the way God has wired us and put us together and created us and gifted us and the talents that we have. God has prepared you way in advance for doing some things that he's going to invite you to go and be a part of so that you can be a blessing to others. You see how that is coming together? Right? That's part of the story. It's so much more than just a wife for Isaac, although that's extremely important. God has worked in the very creation of her life to be just the right wife that he's inviting her to be a part of this whole blessing. The question remains, though, doesn't it? Is she willing to go? Is she willing to go? Is she willing to leave her father's land, as her native country, all of her relatives, and go to this place that she will be unfamiliar with? She will be a foreigner and a stranger there. Will she be cared for the way that she's cared for strangers and foreigners? There's a big question mark there, isn't it? In fact, so much so, after the servant stays the night, he gets up the next morning. He wants to get going right away, but the family is a little hesitant. Right? They're like, "She's going to be gone for years. We may never see her again because the land is so far away." And so they have this conversation. The family says this when he wants to take her right away the next morning. "But we want Rebecca," this is verse 55, "but we want Rebecca to stay with us at least 10 days. Her brother and mother said, "Then she can go." But he, the servant, said, "Don't delay me. The Lord has made my mission successful. Now send me back so I can return to my master." "Well," they said, "we'll call Rebecca and ask her what she thinks." Is she willing to go? Okay. Is she willing to go and be a part of this? Is she going to go and join with God, partner with God, with something God is already doing, to be a part of that blessing, to be God's blessing to others? Is she willing to go? Verse 58, "So they called Rebecca. 'Are you willing to go with this man?' they asked her. And she replied, 'Yes, I will go.'" She's willing to go. This is bigger than you think, right? Sometimes we just think about these people in the Bible and like, of course they're going to do this. They're the people of the Bible, right? But this is the big question that we didn't know the answer to until this moment. She's willing to go where God is inviting her to go, to partner with him because he has already gone before her, prepared her and prepared the people that she's going to be going to, that they can then experience God's blessing. And we hear a part of that blessing in the family giving a blessing to her as she goes. And it's similar to what God had given to Abraham, right? That he's going to have all of the descendants and be a blessing to all the nations. Verse 60 says this, "They gave her this blessing as she parted. Our sister, may you become the mother of many millions." May you have so many descendants, you can't even count them all, right? It's a similar connection to Abraham's blessing. So not only is she going to be leaving that country like Abraham, but she's going to be joining the blessing. Now, the second part is going to be important later on in the story for when the Israelites need to conquer their enemies and things like that to possess the land. We're not going to go there, but we get it, right? So there's a twofold part with this. So, but it still remains, what is this blessing going to be looking like? How does she participate in this as she's now going to be heading back to this foreign land, to a man that she has never met, and she's going to be his wife? How will she be treated? Will she be treated well? Will she be blessed by being in this partnership with these other human beings because she's partnered with God and gone where God has invited her to go, right? And trusting that God has gone ahead of her? Will she see it? Will she see it with her own eyes? And I say that because that's the key phrase here. As we continue on in the story, there's this phrase about seeing, and it's connected back with where we were last week with Hagar. Remember Hagar, right? She went to this well, and she met God who hears her and sees her in her distress and in her suffering. And she was changed by that experience to where she calls God by a different name. And that well where she was called something else. The well of the living one who sees me. That's what it's called. And why I bring that up is because that's exactly where Isaac is. Isaac, as Rebecca is approaching where she's going to be living, Isaac is there. Isaac has just come from the well of the living one who sees me. In his grief, right, in his own distress, God sees him, and God has partnered with someone that's going to come and be a blessing to him in his time of grief, okay? That's what we're going to see here. Verse 62, "Meanwhile, Isaac, whose home was in the Negev, had returned from Well of the Living One Who Sees Me." It's the same title that Hagar had given. Verse 63, "One evening, as he was walking and meditating in the fields, he looked up and saw the animals coming." Did you see that? He looked up and he sees, right? He sees these camels coming. "When Rebekah looked up and saw," there's a whole lot of seeing going on here, isn't this? Right? "Looked up and saw Isaac, she quickly dismounted her camel. 'Who is that man walking through the fields to meet us?' she asked the servant. And the servant replies, 'It is my master.' So Rebekah covered her face with her veil. Then the servant told Isaac everything he had done," the whole story, right? "And Isaac brought Rebekah into his mother Sarah's tent, and she became his wife. He loved her deeply, and she was a special comfort to him after the death of his mother." Do you see them experiencing God's blessing? There's this one that's going into a new land. She's going to be a stranger. She's going to be a foreigner. How will she be treated with hospitality? Will she be taken care of? How has God gone ahead of her to prepare Isaac to be one that loves her deeply? She experiences that blessing of God's love through Isaac. Isaac partnering with God, right? And going where God invites him to go. Okay? And then he participates in that blessing. And Rebecca as well, because she said yes to leaving her native country and her family household and traveling into this foreign land, she is a comfort to Isaac. She blesses him with this compassion and this love from God, right? All because they've partnered together in this. Cool story, right? I don't know. I'm excited about it. And how does this connect with Jesus? Okay. Well, it connects with Jesus really, really well when you start hearing those design patterns of someone going, being invited to go somewhere to bring God's blessing because God has already gone ahead of them to prepare that. Okay. Now think with that in your mind, because after Jesus' death and resurrection, he's buried in this tomb, and 3 days later, God raises him from the dead. Familiar story, yes, right? For many of us, it's a familiar story. And after he is raised from the dead, there's some women the next morning to go out to the tomb, right? And they're going to prepare the burial and all of that. They're going to do that. They're going to care for Jesus, right? His body, at least. And no big spoilers here. Is Jesus there? No, Jesus isn't there, right? That's the big deal. Who has gone ahead of them is waiting there. There is an angel sitting there, and he gives this message inviting them to go to these other Jesus followers to bring them a message that will bring them comfort, just like Jesus had told them to do from the very beginning. Would you like to see this? It's one little sentence, but it's so beautiful, and it connects with the story. It's from Mark chapter 6, verse 7. The angel says to them, now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, because Peter's had a rough time, right? He's had a rough go of this, so this whole denying Jesus and all of that, right? Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died. Do you see it? Right? That Jesus is giving this message, inviting these women that have come to the tomb to go somewhere, to go to the disciples to bring this good news that they want to hear, that they need to hear, especially Peter. He needs a second chance with Jesus, doesn't he? Right? He's betrayed Jesus, denied knowing him 3 times, like, oh, yeah, I'd love to have Jesus alive again and clear the air about this, right? I want to be in. And so he invites them to do this, to go. And Jesus is the one going ahead to Galilee waiting for these Jesus followers, right? And they're invited to go and participate in that. Isn't it cool, right? So the question is, though, are these women going to go and do that? Are they willing to go? Verse 8 starts this way and says, the women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. This would be a sad story if that's where the story ended. How do we even have that sentence if they didn't eventually go, you know what? Let's go and tell. Let's actually participate. And there's some hesitancy on their part because that yes is a big yes, isn't it? It's a big yes, and they're just blown out of their minds about what has happened. But God is partnering with them. Right? Jesus is wanting to partner with them to go and tell these disciples what they need to hear. That Jesus is alive and he's gone ahead of you. He's inviting you to go there. And he did that. He told you that. Went ahead of you before he even died. That's pretty amazing. And as Jesus followers, this is true for us, even today, right? You are invited by God to go somewhere to see that God has already gone ahead of you because of the way he has created you and gifted you and gave you talents, right? And just who you are as a person to go and be a part of his blessing to other peoples, to showing his love and his compassion and his good news to those that need hear it. As Jesus followers, this is what you're invited to do. Now, I know that we have a variety of ways in which that can be applied, right? You go into your neighborhoods and you can be a blessing to other people while you partner with God because of the way he's designed you and created you and given you gifts and talents. Or in your workplaces, you can go and be that blessing, because that's where you work. God has provided that job for you so that you can be a blessing there. Maybe even in the midst of your family, to go to a place, to go and be a blessing for them, because God has already gone ahead of you. We can do all of that and all those things there. And I don't know where that lands for you, but what I do know is that you are here not by accident today. That God has gone ahead of you long ago to bring you to this place right here. Whether you are here joining us now or watching online, watching it later, whatever, doesn't matter. God has orchestrated that and has gone ahead of you to be right here, right now. And he's inviting you to go somewhere, because he's gone ahead of you the way he's gifted and talented you, giving you talents, so that you could bring God's blessing to those around you. Other people that will be brought here in the coming weeks that you can engage with and give the good news about Jesus and bring God's love and his comfort. And I know you're wondering, well, how can I do that, right? How can I be a part of that? I just humbly offer this way of doing it. If you have not been involved in something, some of you are involved at Real Life, today may be the day that you check a box and say, I want to try this today at Real Life. I hear God saying that he wants me to go. He's inviting me to go someplace, right? And that you can go there. You can find this nice little handy-dandy card here in the seats in front of you. If you don't have one and you want one, we'll get one to you. Go through it. What has God gifted and talented you to do? All of these things are important. In fact, the one I think is my favorite is the one on the bottom. It says other. Because you may think of some other way that you're gifted to bring God's love and compassion and good news to other people that might join us here that we don't even see yet, right? We want to partner together for this. And so I encourage you to fill that out. If you're filling out this card, you can put it in the offering basket. That's your offering to us. We'd love for you to do that. It's back under that cross. The other thing you can do is you can use the church app. This same form is in the church app, and you can just fill it out that way. It's at the end of the notes. It says volunteer. That's a way that you could take that step. That's a way of saying yes. So if you're ready to say yes, or when you're ready to say yes, you go ahead and fill this out. And we'd love for you to partner with us so that we can continue to share God's love and his compassion and his good news with everyone that he has planned to bring together whenever they come. Okay, so we encourage you to do that. I want you to be that blessing, to be the blessing for other people. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for inviting us into your life, into your love, that we can go with you in a partnership to bring that life and that love to other people, that we may bless them through the way that you've gifted us, and that the way that you've brought us all together to be your people, right here at Real Life Church, right here in Waseca, right here in Minnesota, right here in the United States. Jesus, in your name, we say yes. Amen.